Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back, 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. My website is www.jbsba.com. Pierce and Jane Howard are our guests, and they're a couple of outstanding individuals who work together, and they're married, and they make it work, and they create some really great work, folks. One of them is a book I'm holding in my hand called The Owner's Manual for Personality at Work, and Pierce and Jane have created this document and taken some research and converted it to personality research and converted it to how it applies in the workplace. And we've been talking about this in a series of interviews that we've been having with Pierce and Jane, and we're going to continue that today. Pierce and Jane Howard, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning. Good morning.
Hi, Jane. Hi, Pierce. It's good to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
One of the things that I know you guys want to talk about is change. Can people change? And I really am glad you wanted to talk about this because this is one of the most interesting and I think one of the most important ideas that anybody in business needs to focus on today. I'd like to know why you guys wanted to bring this up today.
Well, I'll tell you point blank. As a small business owner myself, I get flyers across my desk day in and day out advertising training programs. And you send people to this one-day training program, and you're supposed to fix all your problems. They're going to be motivated to be time managers. Are they going to be motivated to be salespeople? Are they going to be motivated to be better managers? And the question that Pierce and I have been addressing for a number of years is it feasible to dunk somebody in a training program one day and or 2 days and have them come back to the office and be a completely different individual in that mm-hmm. work environment? And our contention is unless the person's got the right personality traits to begin with, it ain't going to work.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that, Pierce, the right personality traits to be able to change or the right personality traits to accept that particular program?
That's a good question, Jim. There is a long line of research going back about 15 years that indicates that 90 cents of every dollar that we spend on training is a waste of money.
Mm-hmm.
90% of the training dollar that is spent in the United States fails to transfer back to the job. Now, there are two reasons for that failure to transfer back to the job. Number one is bad training.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is sending the wrong people to the training.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not going to focus this morning on bad training. Bad training is bad training, and woe be them for putting on bad training.
Right.
But the other part we can do something about, sending the wrong people to training, and that's what Jane's getting at. Now, let me give you just a quick example. Jane used time management as an example. We know from the research that there's a personality trait that deals with being organized. And you can score high or low on that trait, or you can score in the middle. And a person who scores high on organization and a sense of order and structure and enjoying keeping things neat and in their place and that sort of thing, that is it's a natural trait and it's genetically based. Now, let's take an individual who scores low on that trait. They're basically comfortable with chaos. They maybe live their life in stacks, but they're very comfortable with the appearance of chaos, and order does not need to rule supreme in their life.
And if they want to find a document, they have to go wade through everything on their desk to locate it.
And it takes some time to find things.
But they're okay with that.
And they tend to procrastinate. They tend to be late to things. and they have their value, particularly as staff people who are responding to hot fires and that sort of thing and need to change hats in midstream, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a bad thing. That's it has its value. But now let's say a manager wants to make that person into an effective time manager.
Get them organized.
They send them to time management school to get organized, et cetera, et cetera. They don't have the basic personality trait infrastructure to make the training stick. Intellectually, they may learn about the principles of time management.
They may pick up a technique or two.
But they don't have the natural energy to apply it day in and day out. I'm a good example of that. I'm not a great time manager, but I taught time management for 15 years.
Pearson, Jane, hold on to that thought. When we come back, folks, I'm going to ask Pearson, Jane, what should we do with that person who needs to be organized? Should we just give up on them or keep trying? Ponytail, stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around today. Pearson and Jane Howard are our guests, and we're talking about their book. Well, actually, some of the things that they've learned and that they published in their book, The Owner's Manual for Personality at Work. And, Jane, why don't you tell us where this book's available, please?
Jim, our book is available online from Amazon.com or from Syntax or from any local bookseller you can go to, Barnes & Noble or Crown Books or whatever.
And also, folks, I want to remind you, Dr. Pierce Howard has a book that's been out a couple of years called The Owner's Manual for the Brain. And Pierce, I was in Georgetown, Washington, D.C. a couple of weeks ago, and there's a little bookstore there on M Street that I like to go into, and because a lot of times they'll have little books on sale that I couldn't have found anywhere else. And I found your book, The Owner's Manual for the Brain, in there, but it wasn't in one of the discounted sections. It was right there on the main section. So your book is still out there and still an important one.
Great, that's good to hear.
Yeah. Okay, folks, all of us have had employees. Most of us have had employees that we wanted to change. We liked what they did. We liked who they were. They were pretty good performers, but there was something about them that we wanted to change. And maybe we tried to do that. We talked to them. We encouraged them or whatever. And one of the things that Pearson and Jane are saying is that maybe they can, maybe they can't, but one thing is we've got to, you know, it depends on their personality. And so that person a minute ago, Jane, that Pierce was talking about and you guys were talking about sending to an organizational course on a training course on organization who's not genetically wired to be organized, what do we do with that person? Do we give up on them or do we keep trying or do we fire them or what do we do?
Depends. You have to say what is important in their job. Are there things that we're expecting from that person that we might be able to take on or we might be able to delegate to somebody else or we might have somebody that's working on a team with them remind them to do something or they may trade off some of their responsibilities with another person. I think if you've got somebody who fits into the company well and is contributing, but there's just one aspect of their performance that maybe is not up to the standard you expect, then you come up with a workaround strategy. Part of it's being able to identify what are the competencies that we expect that person to do. And if they're not able to do those competencies, we don't want to keep harping on it or fussing at them or yelling at them because they're not getting them done. We need to develop an alternative strategy. Because what we're doing for them in that situation is creating more stress for them.
One of the things that I've learned in my career with working with people is I can remember being so frustrated at people because they wouldn't perform in a certain way, and I thought it was because they just were being irresponsible or lazy or whatever. And what you guys are saying is maybe they just can't help it.
Yeah, let me. Give you another example, coming at the mountain from a different side, as it were. The Gallup organization, Jim, did a study of some 30,000 managers, and they published their results in a book called First Break All the Rules. And in that book, they say that their primary learning from their study is that the difference in effective managers and ineffective managers is that effective managers build on people's strengths. Ineffective managers try to correct weaknesses. And that's perfectly in line with what we're trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
An example, I know of an architect who started his career as a slob, and he knew he was a slob. He was an incredibly good numbers guy. He was a very good designer as an architect, but he was an absolute slob. And he knew he would get nowhere as an architect if people thought he was a slob. They wouldn't
mm-hmm.
trust his work.
Mm-hmm.
But he was comfortable. He was like a pig in a pig pen, and he was comfortable in his pig pen. But he knew that he couldn't present to the world a pig pen. So what he did is when he hired his first secretary, his first assistant, he told her, look, you keep me organized, and I will look out for you my entire career.
Mm-hmm.
You can do anything. You've got carte blanche. You can come into my office in the middle of a meeting and put stuff up. Anything you absolutely need to do. And they had that understanding from the very beginning, is that basically she was his organization.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, if you want to say it was delegated, fine. But otherwise, they made a team of two. And he built on her strength, and he did a workaround with respect to his weakness, if you will. And today, that man retired 2 years ago as managing architect of a 120 architecture firm covering a 6-state region.
Mm-hmm. And she was still with
him. He covered up pretty darn well.
Yeah. And Jane, the thing though is not everybody has the ability to understand that where their weaknesses are, and to admit it and to
and
seek
I think
help.
About especially in a small business.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to look for are people who may not be just like we are. We need people who can cover other bases that we may not be able to address well in the way that we do our work. And so sometimes we expect people to be like us and to have the same approach to problems that we do, when in fact they may offer us another option or another way of seeing the world that we may not be looking at.
Mm-hmm. And let me build on that too. And
I got about 10, you got about 15 seconds.
Often it's simply a matter of listening to people. I had two people in last week doing data entry. One of them said, "Ooh, I love this," and the other one said, "I don't see how a person could do this all day."
Mm-hmm.
That's the clue right there.
Right.
The one that loved it worked five times as fast as the one who did not love it.
When we come back, I want Pearson Jane to talk to us about how we motivate these people and that we're talking about, and making sure that we do it effectively so that we do it successfully without creating a casualty list. Tim Till, stay with us. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friends, Dr. Pierce Howard and the lady he works for, Jane Howard. And they're the authors of The Owner's Manual for Personality at Work. Folks, even if you're not having difficulty managing your people, whether you are or not, you need to know about this book. You need to take a look at it, and because I think it will teach you some things, especially if you're frustrated, as I have been in the past. If you're frustrated with different members of your staff, maybe they're not even with you anymore. They're gone on or whatever. But regardless, you're still left with that frustration. What happened? Why couldn't I fix that? Well, I think this book will open up your eyes to how people are and why they're the way they are. And Jane, the fact that when people won't respond to your attempts to motivate them, to organize them, or to get them to change, it may not be that they're just being difficult. It may just be that they can't do it. They're genetically wired not to be able to do that.
Absolutely true. And there's an interesting phenomenon that occurs a lot of times, Jim, and that is that we will hire somebody that we connect with, we feel good about, and say, you know, we're really on the same wavelength. But oftentimes, the very things that we don't especially like about ourselves will be the very things that we've just hired.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we have to manage them in the workplace, that can become difficult for us because they're screwing up just like I did.
Well, we got
want them to do that.
That's right. That's all we need is two of me. That's a
yeah,
dangerous connection.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and you know, Pierce, I had a guy one time working for me in a company that I owned a while back, and this guy had been in this industry 40 years. He had forgotten more than any of the rest of the organization, including myself, would ever know. And I came in, and I couldn't understand why he wasn't in a more a role of supervision, because he could teach so much. He could do so many things with what he knew. And so I made him a superintendent, and it failed. And you know why? He was the best in the world at doing it, but he could not lead people to do it. And it wasn't. And all the things that I did, all I ever did was encourage him. But all of that, none of that ever worked. And he was still the best employee I ever had in my life. But he could not be a leader. He could only lead by example.
We know that time and again.
Yeah.
People get promoted for doing something well, and they get promoted into management because that's the only opportunity for advancement. And they are not management material. We know what constitutes management material. Research is very clear on that.
What is that?
Well, you want people who are calm. You want people who are outgoing and communicative. You want people who are appropriately tough. And you want people who are disciplined and ambitious. Those are the four magical ingredients.
Hmm.
And a person who is excellent at doing something can be the exact opposite of those four and still be an excellent craftsman.
And somebody you really need on your team.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a person who is nervous and solitary and a pleaser and very spontaneous, yet extremely good at what they do.
How do we know?
In fact,
that would be good customer service.
It'd be a good customer service person. It'd be a good craftsman who worries about getting it done right and et cetera, et cetera. And you put them in a management job and they freak out.
That's exactly what happened, and I didn't know that at the time when the example I was giving you. How do we know when to stop trying to motivate people? How can we tell when to say to ourselves, wait a minute, this isn't about them not doing what I want them to do. This isn't even about me not doing a good job. This person just can't do this. How do we know that?
Basically, Jim, what motivation is a person doing what is natural for them. When a person is engaging in an activity that is natural for them, they become motivated. When you have an outgoing person doing a job that requires outgoing behavior, such as sales or management or receptionist or whatever, then that individual is going to be motivated. If you put an introvert in one of those jobs, they're not going to be motivated.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key to it. You build on strengths, you put the right person in the right job, and a person is going to be motivated if they're engaged in an activity that's natural for them. If you put regular gas in a car that requires high test, that car ain't going to be motivated.
Right. It's going to be knocking
the
whole
person.
Yeah.
You've got to have the natural energy for the
Well, you guys have convinced me over the last few years that personality testing is very important, to especially if you're trying to put a key person in a key slot. And by the way, Jane, give us your website, please.
Our website, Jim, is www.syntax.com. Syntax is spelled
C-E-N-T-A-C-S.
ACS.com.
Thanks, Pierce and Jane, for being
Thank
here.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Pierce and Jane Howard, ladies and gentlemen, the authors of The Owner's Manual for Personality at Work. Be sure to check that out. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.